Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing on with our Brahma Samhita overview course, and today we are going to read through text 5 and, if we have time, text 6. So we can do the Sanskrit responsively for text 5. Chaturasram tatparita Sweta dvipakyam atbhutam Chaturasram chaturmurtesh Chaturdhamma chaturshkritam Translation. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Swetadweep surrounding the outskirts of Gokula. Swetadweep is divided into four parts on all sides. The abode of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements, such as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, as also by the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, which deal with the mantra, and which are the bases of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and nadir. The 8 directions are decorated with the 8 jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda, and Nila. There are 10 protectors, Dikpals, of the 10 directions in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Vimala, etc., shine on all sides. We could initially refer back to our yantra, and here we'll see the basic form of what is being described here. Again, get your very central one correct, kleem, with the dot at the top right-hand side. Then, up in the top, right up in the top, that is the abode of Pradyumna. Coming around to the right-hand side, that is the abode of Vasudev. Right at the very bottom is the abode of Aniruddha. And on the left side is the abode of Sankarshan. And around it all is this line, this sort of box, which is going around the whole thing. That is the quadrangle. So, there we see, there are the abodes depicted within the yantra, the abodes of Pradyumna, Vasudev, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan, and they're all enclosed within this quadrangular place. So you follow what the verse is referring to in that regard? Yeah. It's the yantric depiction of Swetadweep, which is the external area in terms of the yantra, how things are positioned in this meditational, worshipable yantra. So these outer areas of the whole quadrangular yantra, they are Swetadweep. The boundaries of Gokula, they are where the circle goes around and touches the tops of the petals. You can see that? So that is the boundary of Gokula. So outside that circle, but within the quadrangle, and including these four abodes on the four sides of the Chatur Vyuha, this is Sweta Dweep. So it's part of Gokula or Goloka. It is part of the supreme abode. And Lord Brahma describes it as being mysterious. And when we read through these different things which are situated there, then we can see it is quite extraordinary, actually. All these things which in some cases you mightn't expect to be there in Goloka Vrindavan, like Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha, for example. What he refers to, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta translates as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation. Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha. Yes. Well, yes, we would expect that. But anyway, we can attempt to explain these things. And also the four Vedas, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, normally they're considered to be mainly Karmakandiya. And they're described as being the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. So what are they doing in Goloka Vrindavan or Gokula Vrindavan? What are they doing there? Well, anyway, let us try and talk about that now. So, first of all, the verse says that Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha are there. They're expanded from Lord Balaram. This outer area, the Sweta Dweep area, it's something like, it includes Dwaraka, Mathura, particularly these two places. Vasudev Krishna. He's normally associated with Mathura. He appears there. And then he goes to Dwaraka, and Aniruddha, Pradyumna, and Sankarshan, they're definitely considered to be residents of Dwaraka. But Mathura and Dwaraka are part of Goloka. They're part of the supreme abode. They're above Vaikuntha. And in the spiritual realm, they're considered to be on the Goloka Vrindavan planet, as distinct from the Vaikuntha realms, where the highest places are Hastinapur and Ayodhya. They're the highest realms within Vaikuntha. And then above that, starting with Dwaraka, then going to Mathura, and finally Gokula, they're part of Goloka Vrindavan, or in the context of the Earth planet, they're considered to be within this supreme abode of the Lord, which is covered by the Yantra and part of Sweta Dweep. So Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna are there. Then next is described Dharma, Artha, Karma, and Moksha. They are existing there in Goloka Vrindavan or in Sweta Dweep. They're existing there in their ultimate pure forms. For example, Dharma means religiously performed occupational duties. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, performing all these duties in terms of the Vedic injunctions, this is called Dharma. in terms of dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. So, in Sweta Dweep, in Goloka Vrindavan, we find that dharma is manifested, displayed on its highest level by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They're protecting the cows. They're worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Particularly, they're totally overwhelmed with love for Krishna. So that is the topmost platform of dharma. And when you come down to a lower level, like in mundane human society, that is then reflected in Karmakandya and various other types of dharmas, Vedic dharmas. Similarly, artha. Artha means making material progress, basically. Acquiring material facility. That is manifest in its topmost form in Goloka Vrindavan or Gokula Vrindavan in the form of Nanda Maharaj's wealth, all his cows. They're all used for Krishna, for the enjoyment of Krishna. All the jewels, all the chintamani, and all the kalpavriksha trees, and all these things. You know, these are, when you talk about wealth, Goloka Vrindavan, or Gokula Vrindavan also, they're extremely wealthy. And Nanda Maharaj and company, they are, through their pious pursuit of Vaishya Dharma, as pure devotees of Krishna, they're using all the wealth and all the facilities and everything for Krishna's pleasure. And then on the lower level, this level, or in the material realm, then that's reflected in Karmakandya and so on. Then karma, sense gratification, utilizing your facilities for your enjoyment. Well, that is epitomized in Goloka Vrindavan, in the form of the gopis and their love for Krishna. That is the topmost form of karma. But that is all for Krishna's enjoyment. That, of course, is reflected in material artha in the form of expanding your household life and all that sort of thing. And just enjoying generally, as pious people may do who are following some form of Vedic system or another. And moksha. Moksha, of course, is automatically there in Goloka Vrindavan. It's the topmost place of liberation, and the inhabitants are the topmost liberated devotees. So in these ways, dharma, artha, karma, and moksha are manifest in Goloka Vrindavan or Gokula Vrindavan in their topmost forms, and then their different types of perverted reflections as you go down the scale into the material world. Then, let's see, next is the four Vedas. Rig, Yajur, Samur, and Sama, and Atharva. Well, the four Vedas are there in Goloka Vrindavan, in Sweta Dweep, in their original forms. And they're simply singing the glories of Krishna, that's all. That's all. Nothing other than that. The Karmakandya section of the Vedas, as we know the Vedas on this planet, that is mainly, or these four Vedas at least, Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva Vedas, they are mainly dealing with material upliftment. But that material upliftment is not meant to be an end in itself. It's meant to be part of a greater process which brings a person ultimately to Krishna consciousness and going back to Godhead. That's, our acharyas have explained that very clearly in their Bhagavad Gita commentaries, the concept of the yoga ladder. that a person starts off from just totally materialistic life. They start off, traditionally at least, by taking up karmakandya under the direction of a guru or some priests like that, some Brahmins who would direct them. And as they became more advanced in that, they could come to karma yoga, then come to bhakti yoga, gradually becoming purified. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini, when he discusses the 10 offenses, and he talks about the fourth offense, to blaspheme the Vedic literatures, or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version, he says we should be very careful not to blaspheme the Karmakandiya section of the Vedas. We might be prone to do that, possibly, if we're devotees, because probably we would see how many people who follow that Karmakandiya section don't get any further. They simply get caught up in Karmakandiya and aspiring for different higher material goals. So therefore we might be inclined to sort of denigrate or put down, minimize the Karmakandiya section of the Vedas. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says we should see it as being part of a greater whole, which is the whole Vedic system, which is meant to bring people ultimately, gradually, step by step, to Krishna consciousness. So anyway, in Goloka Vrindavan, those four Vedas are manifest in their original forms, and they're simply glorifying Krishna, that's all. No Karmakandiya in Goloka Vrindavan. In a sense there is, like the gopis worship Katyayani. But they're worshipping her in order to get Krishna as their husband. So it's transcendental. Then, let's see. Oh, tridents, yes. Someone asked about this the other day. These are discussed in the middle of page 13. There are 10 tridents in the 10 directions, including up and down. And they are guarding Goloka Vrindavan from, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, self-conceited people who try to reach Goloka through yoga and jnana. So they are baffled in their attempts, being pierced by the tridents. And what is like the nature of those tridents? That's explained just a few lines down. Shula means a trident. So there are two forms of these tridents. One is the mundane threefold attributes, or in other words, the three modes. And the other form is time, in its threefold divisions, past, present, and future. So these people try to sort of force their way into Goloka Vrindavan, where they don't belong and they're really not qualified to go. And they become captured by the influence of the modes and or the influence of time. So they fall down. So that includes the jnanis, the impersonalists, and the ashtanga yogis, or different types of yogis, really. Then there is, let's see, a little further down, those who proceed towards the direction of Goloka through the channel of devotion, alloyed with majestic ideas. They become fascinated with the charms of Vaikuntha, particularly features like the 8 mystical perfections which exist there, and the majesties like Mahapadma. Mahapadma They are Mahapadma, what are they, Mahapadma? Padma, Shankar, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kundra, Nila. These are eight mystical treasures, valuable gems, and they're there in Vaikuntha. So people whose devotion, these are devotees now, but their devotion is influenced by the concept of Aishvarya, not pure love, but they have some attraction for the majestic feature of the Supreme Lord, in other words, Lord Narayan. So they get attracted to Vaikuntha by the incredible wealth there and by the existence of the mystical powers which are there in Vaikuntha in their original forms. Anima and Lagima and Prakamya and all these different mystical cities which are originally spiritual. But they are within Vaikuntha. Then, now we come to the very interesting part. This is the main part, really. Down the bottom of page 13, there is now a discussion about what is mentioned in the verse, actually, right at the end, or towards the end of the verse. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white. So what does this mean? This means that the Yuga avatars are residing in Goloka, in Swetadweep. The Yuga avatars in Satyayuga is white, in Treta Yuga red, in Dwapara Yuga blue, blackish blue, and in this Kali Yuga, yellow or golden. So the Yuga avatars, in their original forms, not normally their forms of Vishnu, they're Vishnu avatars, and their abodes are in Vaikuntha. So just for example, just recently, Lord Chaitanya appeared, he is golden avatar, but he is very special golden avatar, very special Kali Yuga avatar, because he's Krishna. But normally, in other Kali Yugas, the remaining 999 Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma, in this day of Brahma, normally the Kali Yuga golden avatar is not Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, but they are Vishnu. They're Lord Vishnu. And being Lord Vishnu, those avatars are not able to give love for Krishna in Vrindavan, but they teach worship of Vishnu, chanting the holy names of Vishnu. But in their original forms, the Yuga avatars exist, like the prototype Yuga avatars exist on Swetadweep. And of course, Lord Chaitanya is one of those prototypes. So he's also there on Swetadweep. So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta goes on to talk about the Yuga avatars, or actually about Lord Chaitanya and the significance of Swetadweep, and particularly the part of Swetadweep where Lord Chaitanya is. And this is something quite striking, actually. So down the bottom of page 13, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that it is only the divine selves of Godhead, the propounders of the divine dispensations for the different ages, in other words, the Yuga avatars, who are always forward there to favor the approaching devotees who are seeking entry into the realm of Goloka through the channel of pure devotional love. These divine forms of Godhead are surrounded with attendants of their respective natures. Yeah. Svetadvipa and Goloka is their place of abode. Hence, Srila Thakur Vrindavan, the manifest Vyas of Chaitanya Lila, has described the village of Navadvip as bearing the name of Svetadvip. Sometimes if you read Vrindavan Das Thakur's book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, he refers to Navadvip as Svetadvip. Yes, because as Gokula is non-different from Goloka, so Navadvip in Bengal is non-different from this Svetadvip we're reading about here in Goloka Vrindavan. So, you know, the names are interchangeable. They are the same also. They're exactly the same. So, then he goes on to make, it's really a very important point about the importance of Svetadvip. You might think that Svetadvip, being outside of that inner Gokula area where Krishna lives, and being a place connected with Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, and so on, you might think this is like a lesser part of Goloka, a less important part of the supreme abode. But now Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is going to explain how Svetadvip is no less than the rest of the Supreme Lord's supreme abode. Not only is it no less, but it actually makes complete the inner part. And without that Svetadvip area, the inner part would not be complete. So let us just read on a bit. This Svetadvip, in this Svetadvip, the concluding portions of the pastimes of Gokula exist eternally as the pastimes of Navadvip. Hence the region of Navadvip Raja and the realm of Goloka are one and the same indivisible entity. The difference only lies in the manifestations of the infinite variety of sentiments. So there are different moods. But it is not that one mood is greater than another, and that therefore one part is greater than another part. Although we might possibly think that the inner part is more important than the outer Svetadvip part. Then he goes on basically to talk about different types of people who don't make it, I'm afraid. They just can't make it. All the people in the material world, people living with their wives and children, hankering for the pleasure of fruitive activities, very austere brahmacharis, ascetics, mental speculators, people who are very detached. They go through the upper planetary systems, Mahajana, Tapa, and Satyalokas. Then Lord Brahma, the Paramahansa Sannyasis, and the demons killed by Lord Hari, they go into the Brahma Jyoti. So these people don't make it. Then there's even five types of devotees who don't make it to Goloka Vrindavan or Gokula Vrindavan. And we're going to ask you about this in the test. Five types of devotees who don't make it. The Jnana, this is at the bottom of page 14. Do you see that? Are you with us? The Jnana Bhaktas, Shuddha Bhaktas, Prema Bhaktas, Prema Para Bhaktas, and Prema Artura Bhaktas. They go to Vaikuntha, the realm of Lord Narayan. They don't make it to Goloka. Now, who are these people? What does this mean? Well, the Jnana Bhaktas, their bhakti is mixed with knowledge. Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita discusses these five types. Do you know, I don't know if you'd be able to get this, but give it a try. Anyone want to take a guess? Who is the example given of a Jnana Bhakta? No. Not actually. Huh? Who? No. Bharat Maharaj. He's described in the Bhagavatam actually as being a Jnana Bhakta. And Sanatana Goswami in Brihad Bhagavatamrita says he is the example of the Jnana Bhakta, the devotee actuated by knowledge. Knowledge of Krishna, actually. It's not really like impersonal knowledge, but this knowledge is like a very strong part of their consciousness. Then the Shuddha Bhakta. This means the devotee who is devoted to the 9 processes of devotional service. In other words, the first class sadhaka. Anyone want to take a guess who the example of that is? It is. It's Maharaj Ambarish. He went to Vaikuntha. Then, the devotees who are actuated by pure love. Who's an example of that? Well, the example is Hanuman. Sanatana Goswami gives these examples. Then the devotees, where are we? No, he was the Prema Bhakta, imbued with loving devotion. Then the fourth category, the devotee actuated by pure love. Who is that? That is the Pandavas. They're in Hastinapur. And then the devotees impelled by overwhelming love, that's the Yadavas. Yadavas, the Yadu dynasty. Anyway, I mean, Dwarka is also part of Swetadweep, but this is coming directly from Sanatana Goswami. Now, the Navadweep part, Swetadweep, in terms of being the abode of the 4 Yugat avatars, and particularly including Navadweep within it, Swetadweep, and that Navadweep part of Swetadweep is very, very important because it makes complete the essence of Gokula, which is the loving pastimes of Krishna and Radha and Krishna. So, let's just see here. What do we say here? Only those who have all love go to that Gokula. And he says about on page 15, about 2/3 of the way down, let's see. The gist of the whole matter is this. Goloka, as Swetadweep, is eternally manifest because the pleasures of enjoyment of the rasa could not be had in its entirety in the pastimes of Krishna in Vraja. He accepts the emotion and effulgence of his predominated moyati, half, as we said the other day, Sri Radhika, and makes an eternal pastime for the enjoyment of Krishna rasa there. Sri Krishna Chandra, coveting to taste the following pleasures. 1. The nature of the greatness of love of Sri Radha. 2. The nature of the wonderful sweetness of his love, of which Sri Radhika has got the taste. 3. The nature of the exquisite joy that accrues to Sri Radha by her realization of the sweetness of his love. So these are the 3 special reasons why Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya. So wanting to realize these 3 things, then Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya in the womb of Sachidevi and appeared in Navadvip, which is part of Swetadvip. So Swetadvip is very important then, because it makes complete Gokula. Even though it may be in the outer portion, but still it's ultimately no less important in this sense, that it makes the pastimes of Gokula complete. And without that, Gokula would not be complete. Yes, and in this regard, when we come to verse 56, where Lord Brahma is expressing, giving his final expression of his realization of Goloka Vrindavan, he says, Bhaje Swetadvipam Tamahamiha Golokam Itiyam. He doesn't make a distinction. Bhaje Swetadvipam Tamahamiha Golokam Itiyam. They're one and the same. They're existing and complementing each other. So, in this way, there is this description here in text 5 of the Swetadvip area, and now we will move away from the yantra, and we'll move on to text 6. Text 6 is beginning to introduce the next subject. Just beginning to introduce it. It's like a bridge going into the next subject, which is the material creation from Mahavishnu. Let us recite the Sanskrit of text 6. Evam Jyotirmayo Deva Sadananda Paratpara Atmaramasyatasyasti Prakritya-nasamagama. The Lord of Gokula is the transcendental Supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is the superior of all superiors, and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm, and has no association with his mundane potency. So now, he's introducing the mundane potency. And in the next section, where Mahavishnu causes the creation, we're focusing on what happens with this mundane potency when the Lord starts having exchanges with it. Anyway, in the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta makes the point that actually Krishna has only one potency. The sole potency of Krishna, which is spiritual, functioning as Krishna's own proper power, has manifested his pastimes of Goloka or Gokula. By her grace, individual souls, her constituents of the marginal potency can have admission into even those potencies. Then he goes on to talk about this mundane potency, the deluding energy, who is of the nature of the perverted reflection of the spiritual potency, has got her location on the other side of the river Viraja. So that river Viraja runs outside the Brahma Jyoti, and it's the boundary of Vaikuntha, and on the other side is the material world. So, three things are said here about this potency, that by this potency Krishna's pastimes are manifest. This is Yoga Maya. Yogamaya, the internal spiritual potency, manifests Krishna's pastimes and helps the devotees. Can any of you think of a verse in Bhagavad Gita which mentions this? Yes. What number is that? Chapter 9, verse 13, I think. Mahatmanas tumam parta daivim prakritim ashrita. Krishna says that the great souls are under, the devotees are under the protection of my divine energy. That is the internal potency. So on one level, the internal potency functions to protect and help the aspiring devotees. And on another level, the Yogamaya spiritual internal potency is functioning to manifest, orchestrate, and add excitement to, and so on and so forth, Krishna's personal pastimes, particularly in Goloka Vrindavan, where Yogamaya is manifest as Purnamasi. She is orchestrating the pastimes in Vrindavan Dham, and she makes things very exciting. For example, here, Purnamasi personally, it was her idea, and she did all the negotiations for the marriage of Abhimanyu to Radharani. And there's one drama, Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami, and Sandipani Muni's daughter, Gargi, asks Purnamasi, how on earth did all these gopis marry all these other cowherd boys? And particularly Radharani, how did it happen? How did she marry Abhimanyu? In other words, you know, what went wrong? And Purnamasi says, oh, it was me. I arranged these things. And there's a nice story how on the day of Radharani's marriage to Abhimanyu, Krishna was herding the cows, and he met Purnamasi, who was coming home after the wedding. Purnamasi said, oh, you know, I've been to a wedding. It was such a lovely wedding. And I brought some prasad. Wouldn't you like some? It's very nice. Krishna said, oh, thank you. He took one big lagdu. And he was just bringing it to his mouth. And he asked, oh, who got married? And Purnamasi said, oh, well, Abhimanyu married, just as Krishna took a bite, Abhimanyu married Radharani. And Krishna immediately spat out the laddu and said, this is the worst laddu I ever tasted in my life. This is terrible. So Purnamasi, Yogamaya, oh, what a character she is. What a person she is. We'll talk more about that. It's covered more in the Govindam prayers. But basically the idea is she is a very amazing person. The manifest form, personified form of the entire spiritual potency which exists for the enjoyment of Krishna and is empowered to act in so many ways, incredible ways, on a vast scale. In the most, you know, like, unique and brilliant ways for Krishna's enjoyment. I'll just give you one example just before we close. This is from, I don't know how many of you have read Lalita Madhava? A couple, three. Well, there is a very astonishing ending. And the whole thing's very astonishing. But the ending is that Radha and Krishna get married in Dwaraka. they're Krishna and Satyabhama, but they actually realize that they're Krishna and Radharani. They realize, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan come, it's a huge reunion, and they are very clear. We are Krishna and Radharani from Vrindavan, but now we're in Dwaraka. So then they get married. And then at the end of the wedding, or at some point in the wedding, at the end of the play, the very last thing that happens is that Krishna tells Radharani that please ask a benediction from me. I want to give you something. So Radharani asks for two benedictions. I'll read them. And then Krishna replies, anyway, I'll just read this. This is very nice. Radharani asks that to those persons who reside in the profoundly sweet land of Vrindavan and who for a long time yearn with a steady heart to someday attain you, please, O Master of Gokula, appear before their eyes as their youthful friend. So that is the first request for a benediction. And second, O Lord, who places the glistening flute to your handsome mouth, please also grant this benediction. In the district of Mathura, where the many forests bear the sweet fragrances of places where you enjoy pastimes, and which is auspicious, splendid, and endowed with all kinds of sweetness, please always enjoy transcendental pastimes with us gopis, whose hearts are overcome with love for you. Krishna says, so be it. And Radharani wonders, how could it be? Because we are in Dwaraka. So Radharani asks, how will that be? Because they're in Dwaraka. And then who comes on but Yoga Maya? In her Dwaraka form, she's known as Ekanamsa. She's a form of Subhadra, who's a form of Purnamasi. They're different features of the personality Yoga Maya. So Yoga Maya doesn't just come on. She sweeps onto the stage, throwing aside the curtain. It's very sort of flamboyant entrance right at the end of the drama when Radharani is wondering, how will this happen? Now we're in Dwaraka. How will we be together in Vrindavan? So Yoga Maya says, friend Radha, do not doubt. At this moment, you are standing in the beautiful and opulent abode of Gokula. Although by the power of time, I've arranged it in a different way, this truth you'll be able to see directly in your heart. Please understand that you are in Vrindavan and your Krishna is standing by your side. And that is the end of the drama. Actually, there are two other things that Radha and Krishna say, but basically that's the end of the drama. Thing is that Yoga Maya, this internal potency, in her personal forms, she's very amazing to make arrangements for the pastimes of Krishna. Very amazing. So that we'll talk about a little bit in more detail when we come to some of the later verses. On the other hand, in her perverted form, she is Durga. So such an amazing person, such a powerful person. When she manifests as Durga, how are we going to get free from her? No chance. Any comments or questions? Exactly. That all the demons who Krishna kills are his devotees, who descend. Some of them are demons. Yeah, but somehow or other they get this special mercy of ending up being killed by Krishna. Yeah. So they go to the Brahma Jyoti, normally. Yeah. Question is, do the demons who descend to help Krishna in his pastimes by giving him a good fight, do they enjoy it? Is that? No. They get killed. I don't think many people enjoy getting killed. No, because they're in a demoniac frame of mind. When Jai and Vijay fell, see, they're the only two, really, who we know of, who fell in order to give Krishna a good fight. And when they fought with him, they were not thinking that, yes, here we are, Jai and Vijay, and we are devotees, but we're here to give Krishna a fight, so we better give him a good fight. No. They were thinking, here is this nonsense, you know, Krishna or Ram. Just like today is Ram Vijay Dasami. So Ravan, he enjoyed in the sense that he was a Kshatriya and he enjoyed fighting, but it wasn't a transcendental experience for him at all. He was fixed in a demoniac frame of mind. Yeah. Other Vishaka? Yes, well, you know that Bhishma is a devotee who's in that type of rasa, the ghastly rasa. I mean, partly he's in that. It's a part of his relationship with Krishna. So when he fights with Krishna, he enjoys it. And Krishna enjoys it. In fact, it's an exchange of love. In fact, the Bhagavatam describes that when Bhishma's arrows were hitting Krishna's body and causing wounds, Krishna took those to be like the so-called love bites of material so-called lovers. So there you go. Yeah. The point being made is that even though Radha and Krishna in the passage we read from Lalita Madhava, they're together, and wherever they are is Vrindavan. But still, Radharani is attracted to that Vrindavan, to that Gokula Vrindavan. Yes, the same idea is there, and therefore the point is that that Vrindavan is very special or very powerful. So that point is there also in the meeting of Krishna with the inhabitants of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra, which is recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in the Bhagavatam, but more in a more sort of explicit form in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Radharani is there with Krishna, but she's saying that it's very nice, it's very wonderful, but still I want to go back. And, you know, when Krishna was in Mathura, the inhabitants of Vrindavan could easily have left. You know, it's just down the road. You can walk there in a few hours. It's like a 3 or 4 hour walk. But they never did it. Because Vrindavan, which is a manifestation of Krishna, is so powerful that in one sense, even if Krishna is not there, they won't leave it. Yeah. Anyway, the basic point is, that Vrindavan is very powerful and very, very special. Yeah. Kula. Yes. That's in Gokula. Well, you know, we don't hear a lot about the other 999 golden Yuga avatars. But the thing is, seeing their incarnations of Vishnu, they're not really in a position to give anything more than that. That's why Lord Chaitanya is referred to by Rupa Goswami as Namo Mahavanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Yes, he is very special, most munificent avatar, because he's giving Krishna Prema, not Vishnu Prema. Yeah. So there is this difference then with the others. They're basically giving Vishnu Prema. Well, see, even if they were chanting Hare Krishna, it would be in a Vaikuntha type of context. Because there is a Vaikuntha planet where there is Radha and Krishna, but they're Vaikuntha, they're Narayan, they're Lakshmi and Narayan. And they're worshipped in awe and reverence. Yeah. Yeah. Any last question? Yeah? Yoga Maya, the person of Yoga Maya potency, in Vrindavan is known as Purnamasi. In Dwaraka, she's known as Subhadra. Yeah. Or Ekanamsa, but generally she's known as Subhadra. Okay, we'll end here. Let's see now. You should go on and read. Now, we're going into the description of the creation. I think read 7, 8, and 9. Okay? Prabhupada Kedah.